The Buck Sexton Show.
First, we have a special guest, a first-time guest on the show. We have Adele Nazarian joining us. She's a reporter for Breitbart News, Breitbart.com. Adele, thank you for calling in. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Buck. Great to be on. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, Iran obviously has gotten a lot of attention recently in the news because of the sort of deal that might be a future deal, but we don't really know. And then, of course, there's what's in it, which we also don't know because they think one thing, we think another. What do you think about where it all stands right now? I mean, I know that Iran is something that you cover. In fact, your family is Iranian, correct?
Yes, I was born in America. My parents were born in Iran. They came here. They immigrated here at a very young age. And you're absolutely correct in saying that the framework right now is very it's very inclusive, and both countries, America and Iran, are talking past each other. And what we have here is, I mean, the June 30th deadline fastly approaching, and I don't really know that it's going to pan out the way that the current administration planned on having it pan out, and it's going to be much the disappointment of the Iranian regime.
Iranian people? I saw a piece that you wrote on Breitbart about this. You know, there was all the celebration and such. Their support for a nuclear Iran, but not necessarily a nuclear armed Iran. Or where does the population come into this in terms of what they think should happen? The Iranian population, what would they like to see?
This is there's a tremendous dichotomy here with the media's portrayal and coverage of this, because you have the majority of Iranians that are really not for the regime. They are so hopeless and so hopeful in that same exact regard of having some kind of getting back at zero again, having just some semblance to life where they can work, have enough money to be able to provide them food and nourishment for themselves, that they see, a small majority see this as being, you know, a glimmer of hope for them for the future. Now, what the media did not cover is the fact that, you know, you have these Iranians who are in the street kind of celebrating this framework deal, but then you have counter-protests going on with a big group that actually are opposed to all the celebrations, because they know that what this is going to do, should the Iranian regime get, you know, $150 billion potentially in frozen assets released back to them, it's only going to solidify their longevity. It will essentially crush any hope for the people to rise up again and to, you know, elect a democratically elected form of government and have some sort of semblance to, you know, life that's not under a Sharia law that is keeping them down and has rampant human rights abuses.
Is there any doubt in your mind that the mullahs want to get nuclear weapons, not just nuclear capability and power, but actual nuclear weapons? I mean, is that, where would you put your certainty on that scale?
I'd have to say on a scale of 1 to 10, now I've heard very conflicting views from people who are actually in with the regime and who are the general population. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it's about a 10 to an 11. All you have to do is really look to history to see that Ruhollah Khomeini, who was the founder of the Islamic regime in Iran, he had penned a letter in 1988 which called outright for nuclear weapons. And that letter was released in 2006. The Iranian media scrambled to delete the nuclear weapon reference from it. But, you know, today you have what I like to call a false fatwa. You have even President Barack Obama claiming that Khomeini, who is the current Islamic supreme leader, has said that Iran will not acquire nuclear weapons. He never said that. A fatwa was never issued. Even if it was, you know, why isn't there proof, tangible proof of it existing? So even if there was a religious edict, which is a fatwa, that Iran would not acquire nuclear weapons, Khomeini, who was the predecessor to Khomeini, his word reigns supreme over the current Islamic leaders. And he called right out for nuclear weapons. So I don't doubt it whatsoever. And you have to look at Iran's relationship with Russia. Russia on Monday, they lifted an embargo to sell, I think,
S-300 missiles. Yes.
Exactly, missiles to Iran. That's very telling. That's a complete violation to their treaty and to America's rules, actually, and to the UN's, I believe. And what it's doing is essentially defying the Obama administration. and also causing for, you know, for Putin to kind of directly call out Israel and pushing them to get closer to possibly bombing Iran. And, you know, we're going to see that unfold over the next few months. We'll see what happens June 30th, but it's definitely going to, at the least, set off a nuclear arms race in the Middle East if Iran does get, A, closer to acquiring that lump sum of $150 billion, and if their collusion with Russia is taken to a different level.
What are you working on this week, Adele? Anything coming out that we could tell people to keep an eye out for in Breitbart?
Definitely. Thank you so much. I am actually working on an exclusive story. It will be a world exclusive of an image which shows Iran's terrorist activities with shuffling terrorists and militants between Iran and other Middle Eastern countries.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
That should be a pretty big story.
And that'll be on Breitbart.com?
Breitbart.com.
All right, excellent. You can follow Adele at Adele with two L's, Nas, on Twitter. Adele, thank you so much for joining us. Good of you to be in the Freedom Hut for the first time. Thanks very much.